Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter, which is now on Substack. And you can learn even more about how to heal yourself naturally. Now, our guest today is Alex Simmons. Alex Simmons is an exercise therapist and the owner and founder of Whole Body Systems. And you can find out more about Alex Simmons and his wonderful work at his website, wholebodysystems.com. Welcome, Alex Simmons.
Thank you, Catherine. Happy to be here.
So I want to start by giving Alex Simmons a huge plug because I am his client.
That's
and
right.
As a medical intuitive healer with 32 years experience in natural healing, I'm always looking for the best people to help me. I'm 66 years old and a DEXA scan showed that I have osteopenia. So I teach yoga for osteoporosis. I'm always working on my bones. Other people work out to look good. One of the reasons I work out is to strengthen my bones. And that is how I came to find Alex Simmons. So Alex Simmons, for our audience, will you explain what exactly is osteoporosis?
So osteoporosis, you know, it gets a moniker of a disease where there's a thinning or a depletion in the density of the bone tissue that results in greater fracture. So, you know, what we're talking about is bone loss. And osteoporosis, really by the definition, is a certain category of bone loss. So what we try to talk about at Whole Body Systems is that we try to think of osteoporosis as really a symptom more than a disease. And if we can find the cause of the bone loss, then we can stop the problem before it happens, hopefully.
And what is osteopenia? Because I did a traditional medical scan called a DEXA scan, and they said I had osteopenia. So what exactly is, for our audience, is osteopenia?
Yeah, so osteopenia and osteoporosis are both different categorizations of bone loss. So what they're doing is they're going to take your bone density and then they do what's called a young adult comparison. They're going to compare your bone mass to what they think the average bone mass should be for a 30-year-old. And then they want to know how far you have come from what they would consider peak bone mass to be at 30. So if you have come just below the negative one is the T scale. So anything above negative one is considered normal, healthy bone. If you're in the negative one to negative 2.5 category, that's when you're in osteopenia. And if you go beyond negative 2.5, that's when it's considered osteoporosis. So it is really important to understand that bone loss is one big gray scale. And osteoporosis can mean one thing, where it's age-related bone degeneration at a negative 2.5, or if you have T-scores that go beyond negative 3 or negative 3.5, it can mean a more severe systemic bone loss.
And I'm 66 years old, and my understanding I have osteopenia is that even by the time you have osteopenia, you've lost 25% of your bone. Is that correct?
I don't know if that's entirely accurate, you know, and I think if you look at T scores versus Z scores, where the Z score is your age matched comparison, for you being someone who has all of the pre-existing risk factors, which is you are a very small frame, you are a postmenopausal female with fair skin. So we would expect you to have some degree of bone loss, regardless of really any of the exercise and diet habits that you've had. So for you to have osteopenia at your age, just considering your profile, your Z scores are probably relatively close to normal. And that's the thing to consider is that age-related bone degeneration is really coming for all of us, but especially for small frame postmenopausal white women.
And what is a Z score? So you explained that a T score is the traditional measure of how much bone you have. And what is a Z score?
So the Z score is a comparison of your bones to other women your age. Right. So remember the T score when we get the osteoporosis diagnosis, that's the young adult comparison compared to the 30-year-old. When we look at a Z score, that's right, we're comparing bones, your bones to other women your age. And so for, like I was saying, a 66-year-old small frame postmenopausal female, for you to have somewhere in the osteopenia range for a T score would probably mean you have close to normal range for your age.
And for our audience, will you explain what exactly is osteoarthritis? Because millions of people all over the world are suffering from these things.
Right. So I get that a lot and the confusion between the two a lot. So osteoarthritis, and this is just kind of my crude understanding. And Catherine, by the way, one of the things I try to do is I try to break everything down as simplistic as I can, partially because I came about it as an inquisitive client and patient myself. Right. So osteoarthritis is more of a deterioration inside, typically happens inside the joints. Where there's a reduction of cartilage and there's added degeneration inside the joint, which causes a calcification and buildup of calcium deposits. And so these calcium deposits can form bone spurs. They can form, greater globs of just basically chunks that cause friction inside the joint. So it's continued degeneration and inflammation in the joints. It's entirely separate from osteoporosis. They're typically not related.
Okay, now somebody listening to this, because there are going to be people all over the world listening to this, may say, okay, well, getting older, that's a bonus, right? We get to live a long, healthy life. But osteoporosis can be a major risk factor. What do the statistics show if someone with osteoporosis falls and breaks their hip? What does the statistics show?
So it can be pretty startling, and I've seen multiple sources actually give some pretty stunning information about the mortality rate with a hip break once you're over the age of 65. I've seen it in multiple sources that put it close to somewhere to 50% mortality rate within a year.
Ooh.
So it means that if you're over the age of 65 and you break your hip, you have close to a 50% chance of dying within the next year. And really, what the danger with that is, and it's not usually the hip break that causes the death, it's the fallout from the broken hip. So it's a completely, it upends your lifestyle. It's just completely devastating. And usually the fallout results in other, comorbidities. And it's something that you don't want to experience, let's put it that way.
Now let's go back, Alex Simmons, to what you do. Why is exercise important for our bone health?
Well, the way I like to explain it is that your bones are only going to be as strong as they need to be. So, if you want to have strong bones, you have to challenge your body and you have to stress your central nervous system to send it the signal that you need strong bones. And so, that's the why, really, the number one factor that we see in age-related bone loss is size. So, extremely small people don't need very strong bones because you don't have a lot to carry around. You just kind of float across Earth's crust, and gravity doesn't have a tremendous impact on you. So, you have to continually expose your bones to weight-bearing stress, to signal to your nervous system to produce new bone tissue.
Now, is all exercise good for the bones?
There's. That's kind of a broad question, So I'll answer that by saying there are some things and there are some exercise modalities that can put you at a greater risk for bone loss. In fact, I was just working with someone yesterday where we discovered atypical bone degeneration, and it was really, he had no idea or understood why until we discovered that he had been an avid cyclist and basically had cycled on a road bike for 15 to 20 miles a day. For the last 15 to 20 years. And so I pointed to a couple of studies that show that cycling and swimming can have a negative impact on your bone health, because what you're doing is you're signaling to your nervous system that you need to work really hard, that you're a strong creature that's capable of heavy exertions, but there's no impact. So when you're in this pool or when you're on a bike, you're in a less than gravity environment. So you're signaling to your body that you don't really need strong structure. You just need strong heart and strong muscles.
Fascinating. Now,
Right.
some people, as you know, are into over-exercising. Can over-exercising hurt your bones?
I don't necessarily think so from a bone density perspective. I do think that recovery is important. So when you do the type of loading that we use to trigger the bone growth, it's a very intense weight-bearing stress. It's upwards of hundreds of pounds of pressure. Sometimes 4 times your body weight is really what we're looking for. So your body does need a period of recovery from that level of stress to remodel the bones. Now, I do think that most exercise, can be okay from a sense of bone density. I don't think you can overdo it there, but I think you can increase the chance for degeneration in the joints if you don't include proper recovery time.
Okay, great information. And my understanding is there are some women athletes, for example, who are doing high intensity cardio and not eating enough calories, and they can have all kinds of health issues, right?
Correct. Yeah. Well, I mean, the nutrition side of things is a whole nother animal, and being sure that you are matching your physical output with your nutritional input, and keeping those numbers as close as possible.
Now, the traditional medical professionals use what's something called a DEXA scan to measure bone density. Will you share for our audience what technology do you use to measure bone density? How does it differ?
Yes, so DEXA has been what's been used for bone density scanning for probably the last 40 years. It's an X-ray technology. So when you get a DEXA scan, you lay flat on a table, and the X-ray wand passes over the top of you, and it takes pictures. So that's sending radiation down through your body, and then what the machine doesn't block comes through the outside, and that's how they figure how much bone tissue you have in your body. What we use is an ultrasound. So instead of X-ray radiation, we're using ultrasound waves to come down and listen to the echo as it bounces off the bones. So it is radiation free, and it's much more precise. So the part of the problem with DEXA is that there are a lot of variables that have to be controlled to get accurate and consistent readings with DEXA. It's going to take a picture and give you scores regardless of whether you're positioned on the machine correctly, whether your body composition or you have spinal abnormalities that are putting your spine in the wrong place, or if the machine is calibrated correctly. So if we don't do the right scan you with the ultrasound, if we don't scan at just the right depth and just the right angle, it won't give us a bad score. It will make us do it again. So since we've had the REMS technology for about the last year and a half, we've learned a tremendous amount about just the consistency of bone density that we didn't expect because all we had before was DEXA. So the other really big thing that's different about the REMS is that we get a bone quality score in addition to the density score. So two of my favorite sayings, one is that your bones are only going to be as strong as they need to be. And the other one is that density does not equal strength. So when we're talking about bone health, you can have low bone density with very strong bone tissue, just like the inverse. You can have very high bone density with very fragile bones. So we get a measure of the quality of the bone tissue, which is something that DEXA doesn't give you at all. So you only see density with DEXA, which does not really tell you the story about the strength of your bones.
Great information. And for our audience who might be wanting to find this technology in their cities, you're using the REMS technology by Echolight, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Now, Alex Simmons, you are the owner and founder of wholebodysystems.com. How did you get into bone health?
So, I've always been an athlete and an exerciser, and really I got into bone health through my own personal health and wellness journey and trying to manage my own spine. I had some degeneration in my spine and was dealing with some things, and started seeing a chiropractor and started really getting focused on my own personal health and wellness. And I realized that I really needed to shift my own exercise routine. I wasn't a football player anymore, so now I needed to think more about longevity. And so I started focusing on mobility and functional protocols with my own exercise. And right around that time is when I discovered, this is when biodensity technology became available on the market. And this is the modality that we use for bone health. And I was initially just very excited about the technology and really what it represented as a business opportunity for someone as a young entrepreneur, which is really what I am at heart. And so I invested in the biodensity technology, and then from there, just have been continuing to expand on my knowledge about how to help people with bones. And for the last 14 years, it's been learning new things and developing our program to really be able to give everybody everything that they need to naturally increase bone density. If we want to avoid medical interventions, we just want to affect our diet and exercise and optimize that to the best levels that we can. And we feel like we can do a really good job with that now.
And, for our audience, of course, I am a medical intuitive healer and I run the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. But one of the motivations for me to want to increase my bone density naturally, which is what we're talking about here today, is my mother has osteoporosis and she's used the medication and no judgment, but her teeth literally fell out of her jaw. And this is actually very, very common. Her dentist actually was the one who called it. So, what are some of the risk factors for taking the medications, the traditional drugs for bone density?
Well, the risk factors are scary enough. I mean, necrosis of the jaw is what you're talking about, which is basically the interior of the jawbone dies essentially and becomes very susceptible to breaking, and teeth can fall out. Other things like esophageal problems and digestive problems, aching joints, fatigue, alopecia, eczema. And the scary thing about some of these side effects is sometimes they come on subtly, and you just think that you're getting old. You just feel like, oh, this is just part of the aging process. But a lot of times, it's degeneration of these other systems from the medications. But I really want, the side effects of the medications are really not the scary part. The most unfortunate part is really what it does to your bones. So the primary classes of drugs, which are the bisphosphonates, or the next one, which is a Prolia, the denosumab, they are what we would call anti-resorptives, and this is my crude understanding again, where they prevent your body from breaking down and removing dead bone tissue from the bones. So every bit of tissue in your body dies: your hair, your skin, your muscles, and your bone tissue. And so your body's responsible for breaking down that bone tissue and sloughing it off in waste. Well, when we're on the medications, it prevents us from removing that dead bone tissue from the bones. So when it stays inside the cortical bone, that dead tissue then becomes calcified and mineralized and become a very brittle and hard piece of tissue. So like we were talking about earlier, the difference between quality and quantity of bone tissue. When you take the medications, a lot of times your density goes up, but the quality of the bone tissue is often reduced dramatically, because you're retaining dead bone tissue that's not good and structurally sound. So that's what we can now see with the REMS technology, is we can see how if someone's bone quality has been affected by these medications.
Fascinating information. And with that, let's take a message, a break, and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer. We're listening to Alex Simmons, the founder and owner of Whole Body Systems, and we're learning about how to increase bone density naturally. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So, Alex Simmons, you own a gym to help people build bone naturally and increase their bone density naturally.
Well, let me say, so we do say it's not a gym. We're more of a clinic. So it's we're more of an exercise therapy studio. We don't really have traditional weightlifting equipment or traditional gym equipment. But yes, we do specialize in osteoporosis and musculoskeletal health.
Yes. So, and I'm going to use myself for example, because I have osteopenia. I'm 66. I've been teaching yoga 9 times a week. And once a week, I go to the gym and lift weights as heavy as I can. And I also walk my dog. So I'm pretty active. And yet I still had osteopenia. I'm sure it would have been worse if I wasn't doing all that. So what kind of equipment do you use to help people strengthen their bones?
So the tool that we use primarily for bone health is called BioDensity. And what this machine is what we call it an osteogenic loading device. And what we do is we use 4 different isometric exercises where you are applying a max force exertion. So think about max out if you're doing any sort of weightlifting, where you're going to do a max out in 4 different positions, but you only do 1 repetition, and it's for 5 seconds, literally. So 4 exercises, each one you do for 5 seconds each. So it's about 20 seconds of exerting yourself. But what that does is it allows us to get what we'll call an osteogenic load. So this is a weight-bearing stress that is multiples of body weight. And really what we're trying to do is get 4.2 times your body weight. That's what the scientific process has determined is the level of stress necessary to get you to go into an osteoblastic overproduction state where you're producing more new bone tissue than you are getting rid of old bone tissue. So that's what we've been doing the longest. It just takes a few seconds to come in and do 1 repetition on each of these exercises, but it is a very hard few seconds. It's a tremendously beneficial tool. And what I learned early on from starting to work with BioDensity is it's absolutely necessary to get those levels of stress. So someone like you, it's going to be very difficult for you to get 400 to 500 pounds of stress on your bones through traditional means, right? And so this device was designed to help you get those levels of stress in a very safe way.
So, Alex Simmons, how is your clinic different from a traditional gym or fitness center?
Well, we are, one is we don't do any cardiovascular exercise. We don't have cardio equipment. We don't have traditional weights. The heaviest weight that we have in our facility is 15 pounds. The primary tools that we use are these medical devices. We have the BioDensity machine, but we also use PowerPlate, which is a whole body vibration device. So because we use these tools, what we're trying to do is we're trying to trigger an adaptive response in your central nervous system to produce new bone tissue and produce new muscle tissue. That's totally different than cardiovascular exercise. And so we offer 15-minute sessions, and a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their heads around how can you do anything in 15 minutes? Well, remember, we're not trying to burn calories. We're not trying to burn fat. We're not in here working on our cardiovascular health. We're here to build muscle and we're here to build bone. And those two things have nothing to do with duration or repetition under stress. It has to do with intensity level. So if we expose your bones to 500 pounds of stress, it only has to be for 5 seconds for your body to get the signal. We bring your muscles to complete muscle failure. We can do that using science and technology where we don't have to do multiple sets for multiple repetitions. So we use kind of smarter ways and techniques to get more out of your muscles in a shorter period of time and in a much safer way. That's the other component. If you were to try to get these levels of stress in a normal setting, it's very dangerous. I would not recommend it. But we focus on functional aspects of strength. So it's all about core strength, posture, flexibility, balance. We're more about the longevity driven goals than we are any sort of aesthetic or function related goals. Does
So,
that make sense?
absolutely. So, the main machine that you use is a biodensity machine, and you also mentioned a power plate. For our audience, what is a power plate?
PowerPlate is a whole body vibration platform. So it's literally a huge platform that you stand on and it vibrates at a very, very high rate. So what this does is triggers involuntary muscle contractions all throughout your body. It stimulates lymphatic system drainage, it boosts circulation. It really helps to maximize your involuntary neuromuscular response. So it's really good for improving balance. But what I like it the most for is it helps us to allow people that have degeneration in their hips and in their knees to be able to get a greater range of motion and stimulation in the muscles around those joints. So part of the issue when you have severe degeneration in your hip and you have osteoarthritic buildup in there, it's very difficult for you to do any sort of weight-bearing stress-related exercises because it hurts. But when we're on the vibrating platform, there's tiny movements going on inside that hip socket. So we're creating space and allowing you to move through a greater range of motion. That's my favorite benefit is we're able to get more out of people in different exercises.
So the two machines that you are using primarily to strengthen bones are biodensity machine and the power plate. Now, let's go back for our audience because somebody might listen to this. Maybe they're only 30 or 40 years old, and their primary reason for exercise is to manage their weight or to look good, which are good goals, let's face it.
Sure.
But as we think about our health long term, what are the risk factors that contribute to osteoporosis?
Well, so we break it down into three categories of risk factors when we do a root cause analysis. The first one is these pre-existing risk factors, right? So these are things that you can't control. This is how you were born, right? So being small, that's the number one thing that we see. Females have a more complex hormonal makeup, and your hormones are largely responsible for bone production. So being female, you're going to already be kind of lumped into that category. Being Caucasian, so fair-skinned, typically are more prone for bone loss. And being postmenopausal, so advancing in age. We know, and this goes for men too. I mean, degeneration it takes a steeper dive the older that we get. And so, nobody escapes degeneration. We just try to do our best to work against it. So, of the pre-existing risk factors, those are things you can't control. Then the second category we look at is behavioral factors. So, this is essentially your history of diet and exercise. And when we do this analysis, we want to do a timeline all the way back to childhood. And really, I want to go back to even talking about in utero. So particularly with your generation, and I think we talked about this, there was a lot of cigarette smoking going on back then. So if your mother smoked cigarettes while you were in utero, you were going to be a greater propensity for bone loss than if not. Things like being cesarean born versus a natural birth. Breastfed or not breastfed, how much milk and how much cows or dairy did you consume growing up? Did you fall off the monkey bars? Did you run and trip and jump? And those impact landings are very important in the adolescent age to build a solid foundation. Because remember, what we're talking about with osteoporosis is how far have your bones gotten from that of a 30-year-old? But what we don't often talk about was what were your bones like at 30? Because if you didn't fall off the monkey bars, and if you weren't breastfed, and you never had any dairy, or if you were anorexic when you were a teenager, or if you had drug problems in your 20s, we don't know really what your bones were like at 30. So you want to consider your entire history of diet and exercise. And really, the more and better you can do in both, the greater chances you're going to have of having strong bones. It's not super difficult, of an equation.
And then you said there were three categories, and what's the third category?
Oh, so the third category is systemic. And then, so when we do our analysis, we look at those first two categories, and if we can make sense of your bone health, looking at what we know about those first two, then we assume that there's nothing behind the systemic third door. And that would mean when we're seeing bone loss that can't be explained by your behaviors or your pre-existing risk factors. So if you have severe osteoporosis, say, but you're a 240-pound, 40-year-old male, then we're gonna that's not typical. And so then there may be some other causation there, and there could be multiple factors. Remember, bone loss is a symptom of potentially lots of different things. We always try to think of the body like a Swiss clock. If not everything, something working right over here is going to be affecting this over here. So you have to get the whole system operating. And that's where, when we identify those potential systemic breakdowns, that's when we refer out to our medical partners, and we have alternative medicine practices that we refer to that help our clients with those systemic sort of chase downs, we'll call it.
Now, can men get osteoporosis?
Yes, yeah, it can happen in men, and so a lot of the same factors. And again, I'll go back to size is really, and this is just in my experience, it's the number one thing. And so I have worked with many men that have had osteoporosis. And they were all on the smaller side, so 5'6" and under, under 150 pounds. A lot of times there's other behavioral factors like drug and alcohol use, just poor habits. Smoking cigarettes is a big one. If you spend a lot of your life smoking cigarettes and drinking Mountain Dew, that's not very good for your bones. It can happen. It's less likely to happen, for a couple reasons, usually because men are larger, but also because we have much less complex of a hormonal makeup, and we don't see major hormonal fluctuations throughout the month or throughout our lifetime, like women do. So you have a much harder time, on the hormone road than we do.
Great information. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors. My name is Katherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer. We're listening to Alex Simmons, exercise therapist, owner, and founder of WholeBodySystems.com. And we're learning about how to increase bone density naturally. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, Alex Simmons, founder of Whole Body Systems. Earlier, we talked about what happens if somebody falls. So you said that if anyone over the 65, over the age of 65, older women over the age of 65 who fall and break their hips have a 50% chance of dying within a year. Is osteoporosis painful?
So that's one of the scary things about osteoporosis. It is not really going to cause any pain until you break a bone. And this is where it can be troublesome because we've seen it a lot because we've been in business for 14 years. And this has happened multiple occasions where I've had prospects call in and say, I've just been diagnosed with osteoporosis. We tell them about the program. It doesn't fit for them, whether it's logistically or financially. And so we don't ever see them in our office. And then we've gotten the call again 2 years later where they say, hey, I got another bone scan and it's gotten worse. So now I think it's time to start. So, what tends to happen is you get that diagnosis, and the first couple of days, you're thinking about it because it's kind of scary. It usually comes with, a pretty heavy hand. Sometimes fear tactics, and usually a prescription that if you do any research, you probably don't want to take. But if you forget about it and you just go on about your life, you don't know any different because you don't have any pain. You're not going to really have any symptoms until you break a bone. So that's why we try to encourage everybody to think about, exercise and diet. These are just things that are wellness habits that just have to be a part of your life. And they're not necessarily a means to an end. They're just a means that you have to live by. But as far as osteoporosis and the hip breaks, what we like to try to tell everybody is a lot of your fracture risk is within your control. And just because you have an osteoporosis diagnosis that puts you at a certain percentage of a fracture risk, that's only considering your bone health. That's not taking into account your core muscle strength or your balance or your posture or your hip mobility, which are all components that determine whether or not you're going to have a fracture in your future. So I like to encourage everybody to take that into your hands and take control by getting some good habits.
So if somebody is to come to you as a client, they would be receive an evaluation, even if they've had a DEXA scan with the REMS technology by the Echo Light, and then you would work, have them exercise with a biodensity machine and the power plate. What sort of results do you typically get with your clients as far as increasing their bone health?
So we have fantastic results in increasing bone density. And so just because we've had the REMS now for a little over a year, we're starting to get our own clients where we're retesting and where we have control of the data. And this is what's just been so eye-opening since getting the REMS is that up until now, for the last 13 years prior, we only could look at DEXA reports that were given to us by the clients that were given to them by their doctors. And so, one, it was very difficult to get our hands on any of these reports at all because it had to go through too many channels. And then, two, once we did, a lot of times the scores were so erratic, especially looking back now, knowing what we know, it's hard to trust any of those scores because DEXA has such a big margin of error. So, while the results that we had up to this point were reported by our clients as fantastic increases, sometimes upwards of 35%.
Wow.
So we've
In
taken
what period of time?
that's over several years. So that's I think of probably more of like a 4 to 5 year time frame. But we've had clients come in now that have done the Echo Light scan and done 1 year of biodensity and seen scores go from a negative 3.2 to a negative 2.9 and a negative 2.9 to a negative 2.7. And what's really neat is that because the Echo Light is so precise, we can really trust these changes. We can see the consistency where we're scanning the exact same bone on the exact same person, and we're seeing those scores move by just tenths of a point. It's pretty neat. So it's exciting times for us because we're getting a lot better data for our results.
So I have a question. So I teach yoga for osteoporosis, and I was trained by Dr. Fishman, who is the world-leading expert on yoga for osteoporosis. He wrote the book called Yoga for Osteoporosis. And when I teach bone strengthening yoga, we hold the poses between 20 and 60 seconds, actually, ideally 60 seconds. And as you mentioned, one of the big risk factors is small people. So small people tend to like yoga. I do lift weights, all right, but the heaviest weight that I lift in the gym is 25 pounds, I admit.
Yes.
And you said that we need to have four times our body weight. So what's the difference from your professional experience in practicing yoga for bone health and using the biodensity machine and the power plate?
Well, I think that they're kind of accomplishing two separate things. And so I think if we're talking about reversing bone loss and actually stimulating bone growth, I think what we know about, the science of bone modeling, is that it does require these heavy weight-bearing loads. So actually get into the osteogenesis state where you're now producing more new bone tissue, I do think that you do need the heavy weight-bearing stress. But I don't think that that's the only thing that's good and necessary for bone health. So I'm a huge yoga fan. I practice a lot myself, and I think that a lot of what you can do in yoga, it may not necessarily be enough to stimulate the bone growth, but what it can and most certainly will do is help you reduce your fracture risk in all of the other areas that we talked about. So what we need is core muscle strength, and we need good posture, and we need good balance, and we need good hip mobility. And so I think when you're doing all of those things, and especially extended holds, in those certain yoga poses, are going to really solidify and strengthen the joints themselves. So joint stability, and overall musculoskeletal integrity is going to improve. So I think you're doing some great things when we engage in those types of modalities. I think it just might be a little bit different than what we do for stimulating bone growth.
Yes, and again, when I think about my own yoga practice, I'll, let's say you hold side plank for 60 seconds. Well, I'm lifting my own body weight, but it's not four times my body weight.
Right, which is why you can hold side plank all day long. It's never going to be more than the body weight that you're holding up. Which is why someone like you, who's clearly very fit, you've been practicing and taking care of yourself for so long, you're still going to end up with some bone loss, just because of your size.
So, Alex Simmons, what do you want people all over the world to really understand about bone health?
I think the most important thing to understand about bone health is that bone loss is a thing that is really happening and coming for all of us. And that age-related bone degeneration, especially in females, when you become postmenopausal, does not mean that you have some disease that's eating away at your bones. I think it's very important that when you get diagnosed with osteoporosis or osteopenia, that you do some research and apply some context and do your own root cause analysis and try to get to an understanding of, well, what does this actually mean? Because like we talked about with T scores and Z scores, you can have a T score that says osteopenia, but your Z score say, well, I've got the average bone density for my age. So that's the really important thing to understand. The osteopenia and osteoporosis diagnosis is comparing your bones to a 30-year-old's bones. So if you're in your 70s, we know you're not going to have the same bone density as someone in their 30s. So that's the most important thing to take away, because if you apply that and then extrapolate what you then know from that and use some common sense, then you can kind of figure out if you are at a much greater risk of continuing to lose bone and having a fracture, or if what you're experiencing is more just age-related bone degeneration that you can anticipate with aging.
Now, I know that Alex Simmons, that part of your program includes a consultation with a nutritionist. And we have not in this talk talked about nutrition for bone health. But in your professional opinion, how important is it for people to address their diet when they want to improve their bones?
It's absolutely imperative. And what we see, and I'll tell you just the tidbits, so micronutrients, we have to be sure that we're not deficient in all the necessary micronutrients for bone building, which is really your calcium, magnesium, and vitamin D. So we need to be sure that those levels are really good. And then we need to be sure that our macronutrient levels are good. And I'll tell you what we've discovered is that about 90% of the people that we screen with osteoporosis are protein deficient. So we're not getting enough protein in our diets. If we're trying to be in a bone and muscle building state, and that's what I try to tell everybody, is if we're trying to build muscle and bone and get more of that, tomorrow than we had today, we need to be not in a caloric deficit. We need to be sure we're getting enough calories, and we need to be sure enough of those calories are coming from protein. So those are the two biggest things that we've really kind of discovered. Protein is super important, and if you're not tracking it and being aware of your levels, it's just going to make it harder for you to achieve your bone health goals.
So, would you recommend somebody who's wanting to increase their bone density naturally to get off a vegetarian diet?
Not necessarily. So I think it has to be customized, and I think there's no one shoe fits all solution. And that's why I'm careful to make any sort of broad speculation or statements about what works and what doesn't work. Everything has to be for the individual. So it depends on preferences. It depends on food sensitivities. It depends on a lot of different factors. So I would say, for the most part, if you do have a vegetarian diet, it's going to be a little bit harder for you to get enough protein and to get the right sources of not only proteins, but fats as well. If you're not eating animal protein, you have to really be conscious of where you're getting your fat sources. So it's going to be harder, but it doesn't mean that it can't be done. So one of the ways I like to say it is what we're going to do is we're going to give you a list of all the things that you can do to optimize your potential for bone health. And if that list is 10 things long, if you come back and say, okay, well, I can do all 10 of those, then we're going to say, okay, you're going to have a really good chance. But if you say, well, I'm a vegetarian and I can't, eat meat, and if I can only check 6 out of the 10, then I'll say, okay, well, let's do the work, and we're going to just kind of manage our expectations. And if we get to the end of the year and we scan again, and your bones have gone down, then we're going to go back to those four boxes that we didn't check, and we're going to look at the protein again, and we're going to say, well, before we start to explore potential systemic bone loss, let's address the protein first.
Great information. You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me at catherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. Our guest today has been Alex Simmons, exercise therapist, owner and founder of Whole Body Systems. And you can find out more about Alex Simmons and his wonderful work at his website, wholebodysystems.com. And remember, if you have the risk factors for osteoporosis, you can for sure definitely improve your bone density naturally. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.